Happy day. I'm Liza, your healing mentor. I used to say, all I need in life is for my kids to be happy and healthy. The problem was they weren't happy and they weren't healthy. Both my kids had anxiety, depression, and even Lyme disease. Then one day my daughter told her therapist, what would make me happy is if my mom was happy. So I went on a journey to find my own personal happiness. When I finally became happy, my own kids accelerated in their own healing journey. Now I share my stories, my mindset, and other inspirational healers with you. Let's heal one story at a time. Happy day. Welcome to Very Happy Stories. I am so excited to bring back on the podcast Bianca Michelle. Bianca had been on the podcast, I don't even know, two seasons ago when she talked about adverse childhood experiences. And today she is bringing back so many more lessons that we could all use, especially when we are trying to find ourselves. She just wrote her first book, also called It Happened For Me. I've dived into the first half and it is amazing. She's so wise beyond her years. And truly, she talks about all the emotional things that she's worked through, and the power is within all of us. So glad to have Bianca back on the podcast. Here she is. Here's her very happy story. Happy day. Welcome back, Bianca, to Very Happy Stories.
Thank you so much for having me here again. I'm so grateful.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you. I think you're one of only two people that have ever been on my podcast twice. So it's such an honor to have you. And I learned so much from you. And I know you have a new book out. I am so excited. I can't wait to get into it. But we got to start from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit more about your story?
For sure. So about 6 years ago now, I came down. It happened overnight. I woke up one day and I just started to experience fatigue. And then the symptoms just laid on top of each other as they do. And it just got so bad that I was just completely dissociated from my body and had no idea. Doctors were telling me that everything was fine. And I continued to get misdiagnosed with things like fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, even to the point of hypochondria. Like, it got that extreme. And I was really blessed to have a friend who knew someone who had Lyme. And they were like, you need to get tested. You need to try. Like, you need to find out what Lyme is. And I was like, never heard of it. Never had it ever crossed paths with this. There was one occasion that I share in the book as well that's so strange. But basically, this friend's mother had come over about 6 months earlier and was telling me the story of her friend's son who had to travel overseas to get his health back. She didn't call it Lyme, but she was sharing how he had to go to hypothermia.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is horrific. Like, that's really happening. So it was in my consciousness at that level, but I didn't know it was called Lyme.
Right.
And very quickly did I get a positive test from Germany, and then I was off to hypothermia myself.
I did not know that. So you did whole body hypothermia in Germany?
Yeah, I did it in Malaysia.
In Malaysia. Okay. Well, so how did you respond to it?
So I felt really good in the beginning. And then as soon as I got home, I started to have symptoms again. And so I ended up doing antibiotics and following through with, you know, all of the different treatments that there is for Lyme. I think I tried basically everything, from rye to disulfiram to herbs, every antibiotic protocol that you could do. I tried all of it, really.
What was keeping you sick? Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you learned while you were still in the battle that were affecting you.
So what I ended up figuring out is so, so strange. So I basically had this guy come out to check for EMF. Because I was seeing people talk about mold and the EMF and all of these things. And I was living in a brand new property. So I was like, there's no way it's mold, right?
Right, of course.
And this guy came and he was like, there's nothing wrong with EMF here. Like, you're fine. And he called me the next day. And I saw, like, his name coming up on my phone. I was like, that's strange. And he was like, Bianca, this is going to sound so weird, but I have a mold allergy and I can't get out of bed. Like, you need to test your home.
Oh my gosh. So the EMF guy who was there to check out your EMF was responding to your home and couldn't get out the next day. So he's starting to put all the pieces together.
Yeah. He's like, I know this is weird, but you need to test. And I was like, I have heard it before, but really to me, it sounds strange. Like, this was a newly built apartment. And turns out I had large colonies of mold microtoxins all through my property. And for 4 years, I was in and out of that property overseas, getting well from treatment, and then coming home, and then my immune system rapidly going down. And then I'd go out to the treatment and I'd start to be better, and then I'd get sick again. And
oh my
it was
gosh.
This constant cycle, and I had no idea that I also had HLA-DR genes to mold, two of them actually.
What does that mean? Tell us about those genes. What's the relationship there?
Yeah, so a lot of us have these particular HLA-DR genes. I can't remember my exact sequence, but I have two sequences of them. Some people can have sequences that include MSH deficiencies and things like that, but there's a huge range of SIRS HLA genes. And Dr. Shoemaker speaks a lot about this. He's a great someone to refer to when it comes to SIRS. But basically, that's chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And if you have any of these sequences, you can basically not be able to detox mold at any level without supporting your body. And then that not only depletes, you know, your declines your health, but it depletes your VIP levels in your body. So you don't have proper omega-3, omega-6. You don't have, VIP, which is a really important natural peptide that we need. It was just, my bloods were a mess, but they don't check for this stuff. So I didn't know that I was depleted.
Oh my gosh. So you end up finding out that you have mold in your house. Now your body's affected. You have mycotoxins in your body. So what was the next step there? And a lot of people ask me this, like, how do you get mold out of your body? How do you recover from mold illness? And I always tell people, you know what? It's kind of like Lyme. It's very unique to every individual person. What did you do to get out of the mold illness situation?
So I very quickly called my Lyme doctor straight away. And I was like, is this a thing? He's like, oh yeah, this is like very common. And he recommended straight away. And of course, I was like, how is this common? And I didn't know about it.
Exactly. Well, and also this happens to my kids too. It is common, but then I'm thinking like, well, then why didn't you test my kids for mold? Like, while you know they're not getting better and we keep seeing you for follow-up appointments, why is the mold bell not ringing in your head? I mean, and I get they're inundated, but it is a little, you know, it's a little frustrating.
It is. And it's also very interesting to me because our CD457 that we test positive normally for Lyme is very similar to the same SIRS test that you would find. So it's so hard for people to differentiate between the two. Unless you know to look for that, you could say that it's a positive Lyme test based on that CD47 result, but it's also very common to see that in SIRS. So they're so similar that you have to test for both, first and foremost. Like, we need to be telling people that.
We do need to be telling people that. Absolutely. Okay. So then how did you start treating your mold illness?
Yeah. So I obviously had to get out of that property. That was the first recommendation. And so I quickly moved out and I actually just went to my parents' place. I went there and I started to notice the same pattern. I'd go into their house and then I'd go outside and I'd feel better. And their place was actually 10 times worse. So there's actually photos of me on my Instagram, like my eyes after staying in their house for one night was so puffy.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I probably was getting sick for a really long time, even through like high school living in this property, right?
Right. Cause is this the house you grew up in? When you say I went back to my parents' house, that's the house you grew up in?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was staying then, I was like, I remember doing brain retraining prior to that, this DNRS. And she was like, I moved into a tent to get rid of multiple chemical sensitivity. And I was like, I need to move into a tent. Like, what am I going to do? I don't want to be sick anymore. If I feel this good outside, I'm going to move into a tent. And honestly, it felt like the hardest moment of my life to do that. And I was like, this is rock bottom, like sleeping in this friggin' tent. Excuse my language, but
How long did you sleep? You know, when people go camping, they're like 2 nights in a tent, you know, maybe 3 nights in a tent. How long were you in the tent?
I think it was approximately like 4 to 6 weeks. I can't be exact, but something along those lines. And I was just in this tent in the backyard. I'd go in to shower. We had like two places. So we had like a little back thing. I'd go into shower with a particular set of clothes, and this is going to sound insane, and come back in and quickly like change into different clothes in order to get into the tent. So it kept a very like sterile. But honestly, within a couple of days, I was feeling so good that I went for like walks, runs. I was feeling amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then obviously all the normal stuff, right? Like we do, I did binders, I did the omega 3s and 6s, upped all of my blood levels that were bad, and then VIP sprays. I also got rid of mark-ons from the nose. And so it's like this whole process, it's actually 12 steps to fully heal it.
How long did it take to go through those 12 steps?
So for me, it was about 6 months. I actually used ozone rather than the normal sprays that they use. So it wasn't too bad compared to a lot of other people. But then the next best thing happened and I moved into a new place and got mast cell activation syndrome.
Oh my goodness.
It wasn't over yet.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. I opened the TV and I noticed that I was like covered in hives, bright red eyes. I was like, what the hell is going on? I shared this on my Instagram and people were like, oh, it's from the Vox. I was like, what is Vox? And apparently it's like this off-gassing that happens from new items. And if you have chemical sensitivity, you get red eyes and acne and hives and
VOCs. So you're calling them Vox. I know those as VOCs. And it's off-gassing of the organisms or something. I mean, I can't speak to it, but you can experience that with new furniture. You can experience, especially like a lot of this like laminate furniture, you know, that's very artificial and synthetic. You can get it like those laminate woods or new carpeting, glue from paint. These are all high in VOCs or Vox. Okay. So you had an actual reaction.
Yeah. Just what I thought. I'm in my new place. And not to mention that I threw out absolutely everything that I own. Like I just didn't risk it. I was like, I'm not risking this. I did a lot of research about mycotoxins and a lot of people say don't take it. That's a little bit too far, but I was not willing. And I took it that far and I only had like 3 items of clothes. Like I still don't have that many still in my wardrobe right. Ever since. Like I still don't have that many clothes compared to what I had my whole life. But I went to like this little store. It's kind of like Target, but it's called Kmart in Australia.
Yeah.
Grabbed some sandals and like some tights and had a couple of clothes to wear. Like I owned nothing. So then when that happened, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm sleeping in this new place on a blow up bed with a TV that's making me feel sick and it's all happening all over again. And we're at 5 years now, you know, like it was never ending. This cycle.
Oh my gosh.
Over and over and over.
So what did you do when you had that reaction? Did you have to start a new treatment protocol or did you just kind of do more of the same thing that you had been incorporating and kind of bounce back faster? What was this phase like?
So this was calling my Lyme doctor again and going through a protocol of now healing mast cells. He was like, try these, they're called puffers. I don't know, like for asthma, you know, those like little
inhalers.
Inhalers, we call them puffers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we use the inhaler to see if you stop reacting based on that. And that was how he was like testing to see if it was mast cell. Like he knew what it was straight away.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, this is also common. I'm like, oh, cool. Here we go.
Right.
And so, like, who knows what was really doing what over those 5 years? I have no idea now because I just assumed everything was Lyme.
Right.
And so anyway, I did poppers. I did a low histamine diet. I think I got down to like, I was like under 50 kilograms. I'm not sure what that is in pounds, but I was tiny. Like there was
wow.
Yeah. And then I went on stabilizers. So I took ketotifen, anyway, all of those stabilizers to lower the mast cells, because it was that bad that I had like extreme bladder pain. It was like having a constant UTI from everything.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because it can start with Lyme, which we always know it doesn't really start with Lyme, but it's like the one thing you can get a diagnosis with. And then the next thing you know, you're on this journey of like mast cell mold. In a lot of people that listen to my podcast, your kids are getting pans and pots, and it's never just one thing. And you really start to feel like cursed. And you start to, you know, you're just in fatigue. You're just in medical fatigue, treatment fatigue. Here you are now in this portion of your story going 5 years. How do you keep going? What are you using just internally or externally to keep moving forward?
I wasn't doing well, to be honest with you. It got really bad. Thank God for the Lyme community on Instagram, like to know that I wasn't alone. I really had them. But, you know, by 5 years, already by a couple of months, people will think Lyme is strange. By 5 years, the empathy level is basically at zero and you really are considered crazy at this point. So there was no one to really lean on. I tried to always keep through and have that support, but I just couldn't find it. And I also couldn't find it in psychologists or therapists or anyone. No one could understand. So I like to say that I was really squeezed so far from the external world that there was only one way to look to be able to cope. And that still went on. Like from there, my doctor was like, well, if it's mast cell, then maybe it's caused by Lyme. And then I did disulfiram. 6 months, and
which I hear is very hard.
Oh yeah, that was really hard. Coming off that was extremely difficult for my emotional health. Like it really does affect the brain. And then from there, what did I do next? It wasn't ending. That when I did disulfiram, which was really interesting for people to know, it's actually an antiparasitic drug. And I started to notice parasites. So then I went on a parasite cleanse, and that was the last thing that I really did. It was like clearing up parasites and detoxing, and then simultaneously going through the emotional steps that were probably the most healing.
Oh my God. I actually didn't know disulfiram was an antiparasitic medication also. So not only could you get herxing, but now you're going to start reacting to all of these parasites coming out and kind of going crazy.
Yeah. Yes, I was like, what is coming out of me? And they even got my parasites sent off and they came back as nothing. So I was like, okay, this is really interesting. It was just this constant battle of like, I'm seeing all these things, but everyone's telling me it doesn't exist. So it was just, it was constant for so many years.
So what was the turning point? Like what happened to your story that kind of like changed the narrative or turned things around?
So it was kind of back in the Lyme days, almost, I lost my ability to walk. So I had this experience where I woke up one day and I couldn't feel my entire right leg. I had just removed my implants. I mean, this story is just like trying to break it down into small bits, but I also removed breast implants. And the next week after removing my breast implants, I had this incident with my leg. And I got an ice pack. I couldn't feel cold. I got a heat pack. I couldn't feel heat. So I literally couldn't walk on my foot. It was like this. It was like, they call it medical drop foot. Anyway, went to hospital, was there for a really long time, couldn't find anything. Eventually the pain started to come back and it was actually like this peripheral neuropathy. And I had to learn how to basically walk on it again with a physiotherapist. And when I was in the hospital, I watched the movie The Secret.
Okay.
And that was my introduction to gratitude. So it was like this little hint through that. And I don't want to go like too into depth because all of this is in the book from like start to finish. But it started there with this like little hint of that. So when I was in my lowest, I only had Netflix in a hospital bed. And I started to say to myself, like, wow, I could actually be grateful right now to have this hospital bed.
Wow.
That's where it just all started happening for me. Like, I was like, oh, wow, I actually can just be like, you know what? I'm really grateful for this hospital bed. I'm still here. I can do this. And I just started to visualize myself running and moving my leg and going through that experience of like pushing my mind to the ultimate limit. And yes, there was physical aspects that helped with this leg issue, but it just proved to me that I actually had this like other way of seeing life with gratitude, with like this open-mindedness, because I had no choice but to fight. I didn't want to not be able to use my leg. So that's where it really started. And then after the disulfiram, I hit absolute rock bottom. So I was off disulfiram. I was back on mast cell stabilizers and I was able to drink. And through this whole experience, I just used drugs and alcohol. So I used painkillers and alcohol to numb my pain a lot of the time. And so it was like this rock bottom for me, and trigger warning for anyone listening, but I got that bad that my friend at the time actually had to call an ambulance who brought me back to life. Like I drank too much alcohol and got to that point. So I checked myself into a Sydney hospital the next day. And when I was in that hospital, I started to notice that everyone was having all of these emotional issues and just started to get, I was just at that rock bottom, basically.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this anymore. Like I was either going to go all the way down and not survive this or like fight the hell out of it. So I think it had to get that bad. So a lot of people don't know that story. Like it's basically,
I had no idea. I mean, it is, it's like the physicality part of the journey is just going to break you down and break you down and break you down. And there's only so much we can do, but you do have to at some point address that emotional piece too. And so emotionally, you know, I know you weren't doing well, which is, this is the story of so many people. It's going to break you down. So how did you start addressing your emotions? You have this situation. Thank God you're here today. I'm so grateful. But how did you start addressing all of this emotional work? Because, and we're going to get into your book, but there's so many lessons that you talk about that you share in your book. And how did you start attuning to these?
It was at that point that that rock bottom happened. The painkillers came from when I hurt my leg as well, right? It's really interesting how it all correlates. And so I was having painkillers, alcohol, and I obviously had to get off those in order to function and try and start healing. So the emotions would come up even more. So I put a story on my Instagram and I said, does anyone have a healer? I had no idea what a healer was. I don't know where the idea came from. I think a friend like years earlier said she was seeing some healer. And a naturopath with Lyme, Jess Milroy, sent me this beautiful angelic healer, Ash Bell. And I just, it was in the middle of the pandemic. It was 2020 and I had a healing online.
And it resonated with you?
It changed my life. It just, as she was taking me through this healing, she was seeing visuals of my inner child and so was I. And I could just see where all of my pain, finally, where everything actually started. And so through that, I was introduced to trauma, nervous system, the inner child, all of these emotional aspects. But it only happened at that rock bottom. Like it had to get that bad. It had to be so uncomfortable. And it was that choice of like, okay, well, you're either going to keep doing having painkillers and drinking wine by the bottle to like numb yourself, or you're going to fully wake up out of this and choose yourself and wake up. And so, yeah. Podcast, The Healer, and just really calling in teachers, guides. Then I found good psychologists, EMDR therapists, and healed my entire life step by step. And I'm still healing it, but it just opened up this whole possibility of like, oh my goodness, my illness started a very long time before I got sick, a very, very long time.
So true. So true for all of us. I love how your story unfolds is, you know, after you worked with that healer, you started shifting your focus in all of these other areas. And you just had mentioned a few, like healing your inner child and working through trauma. I know nervous system work is in there. And then you're just kind of on a new path, right? And it's like almost like taking a big turn in your healing journey, and that can kind of accelerate too, you know, then you're just drawn to more higher vibration modalities, if you will.
Yeah, I had no idea that this was a way of life. All I knew was physicality. I mean, before I got sick, I had bleach blonde hair, a lot of makeup, extensions, fake nails. Every time I went out, I had a new outfit. I mean, like, I was a completely different person. I didn't know that there was even this type of lifestyle. I thought everything was external and I had no attachment to any part of myself. And I basically think I was disassociated for most of my life.
Wow.
It's really interesting. And I think many of us are really confused by the external.
So many people ask me today, what is the protocol for your kids now that they have recovered? And our biggest staple is Vital Plan herbs. I even use them for my treatment. It's the only thing I use to treat my Lyme, and I feel amazing. I am so grateful for Dr. Rawls and his brand because Vital Plan herbs are clean, clean, clean. Because of this, my kids never experienced herxing. Low and slow is the name of the game here, and I successfully pulled my daughter off of antibiotics through the use of Vital Plan herbs. The herbs that we are on are in today's show notes, and you can also use my promo code for 15% off. It's simply VeryHappy15. That promo code again is VeryHappy15. So let's jump into this a little bit. I want to shift gears. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I know so much more of your story is in your book and Ways to Heal, but I want to make sure we spend time too in your book. What part of your journey did you say to yourself, I need to write a book? Or at what point did you set the intention of even writing a book?
I honestly don't remember the exact moment that it came to my mind. But I do remember thinking to myself around 2020, as I was like on this deep healing journey, that I needed to get all of this out to the world. I just never really knew how. And so every 3 months I create like these little intention jars, and I've been doing it ever since then. And inside it, I put everything that I'm intending and how I want to feel and what I want to create and where I want to be. And that included things like travel, which has come true. It included, you know, things like the book, which has now come true. And so, and obviously health and, you know, feeling fit and all of these different things I popped into this intention jar. And I wasn't really sure that I would ever actually do it because of the neuroinflammation I previously experienced. But last year I was like, it's time. I was sitting in stillness with myself and it just popped through. As I thought that I was going to go for a meditation to think about what my next course was going to be, it just came through and I was like, really, right now? Okay, it's time. So,
and when you get that message, you just go with it. Do you not question it? Do you not explore it? You're just like, you trust that much and you're like, okay, it's go time.
Look, I had done like a little bit of research in the area of like a few coaches that I knew. I was like, does anyone know an editor? And I already had the beautiful Rachel White who edited my book. Like I already had had like a few chats with her, but I was like, yeah, like maybe later. And so I messaged her and she was like, yep, let's get on a Zoom. So as soon as I arrived in Thailand, we jumped on a Zoom and everything just started unfolding.
I love that intention jar too. I try to live with such intention. And I also speak this too of like, live with intention, you know, do something because you want to really be thoughtful in the decisions you make. How has being intentional changed your life? I mean, besides just the book, like, is this something you use every single day?
Yes. If I forget before I go to sleep, I find that it does interrupt my day a little bit. I mean, I like to set my intentions before I go to sleep at night. For an example, I know that I have a busy day the next day. I set the intention before I go to sleep and I'm like, I'm going to be waking up healthy. I'm going to be doing like planning out my day. And it just takes like 1 minute where I've just got everything kind of visualized in my mind. And then I intend for that. And then sometimes I'll also just do an intention for my dream. Say I want some extra healing in my dreams, or to, you know, witness something in my dreams, or to hear from God in my dreams, or any of those things. And I find it keeps me really like balanced and does work out that way. And I know it sounds really strange, but every time I intend, it really does work out. And if it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, this is why, you know, we start to realize why. And then in the mornings as well. So upon waking, I like to set that intention as much as I can. I don't always remember, but I notice when I don't remember to do it, then especially in busy season, I do notice the difference.
Yeah. And I love what you said about your intention, which I don't know if people caught, but you talked about also visualizing. So as you're setting intentions, you're visualizing it kind of going smoothly. You're not engineering your day, right? You're not like cultivating like that. But talk about the visualization piece. Like, what does that look like and how does that fit?
So I like to visualize what that's going to look like and how I want to feel. But I also don't concentrate on too much of the how as well.
Yes.
I feel like that then is too much of control. I mean, when we have that full grip on things, it doesn't work out as well because like we need it. And it's like that neediness energy and we don't want to be in that. It's more just like, this is how I want it to kind of look. And it really does work. I tune into my heart and just like see what I want. Here's an example that I would use quite often. I hate busy grocery stores. I cannot stand it when it's really busy. Before I leave the house, I will visualize it being completely empty because I know the grocery store that I go to. And almost 9 times out of 10, it's like that. But when I have the thought before I leave home, oh no, it's going to be really busy. It's that busy time. And I'm coming from that energy. It's almost always like that. And so just simply setting that intention and seeing my grocery store being empty, it works every time.
I agree. I think that is a wonderful example, but I don't know. I can't break down the science behind it, but I do the same thing. One of the things that really used to freak me out and mess up my nervous system is telling my son, stop what you're doing. And we're going now, like we're going to soccer practice. We're going to basketball practice. Transitions with my son are so bumpy. So I remember I started implementing visualization of preparing myself and just visualizing, like, I'm going to tell him he needs to get off the computer. And he's just going to say like, oh, fine. Okay. And just flow it out and just be so much more cooperative. And I started visualizing that. And that is what I started seeing. And I think it's about reestablishing my nervous system. So when I tell him to do something, I'm coming from a place of stability and almost like they can kind of feel that and sense that as opposed to me being like, okay, I just wanted to let you know. Like, it just, you're right. It's like urgency, desperation. We have to remove those things and set intentions on that and visualize being in a calmer place. Maybe the grocery store, visualize that being a calmer place. And I don't know, there is definitely something to it.
Yeah. Dr. Joe Dispenza speaks about it a lot as well. Like he's probably like a good go-to if people have never heard of this. I love how he speaks on it. But honestly, I started off with just writing it down. Like it doesn't have to be so difficult. Like just write what you intend, see how that shows up for you.
Okay. I love it. Yes. And I know that there's so many lessons in your book. You had talked about there was a time in your period where you felt disassociated and that you had to, and I know this is in your book, kind of like reconnect with yourself. Tell us a little bit about that because so many of us are lost and not connected with ourselves.
Yeah, it really takes time for that to feel comfortable again after a long time of not feeling safe. And it really comes down to safety. We've like lost that connection or that trust within ourselves because we've had so many repeated issues and body pains and all of that stuff. It feels unsafe to be in our body, but also it's like this widened lens of the external world as well. So it really is in so many different parts, like understanding the entire picture really is important because some of the things I'm going to say will sound maybe strange to some people because we're very like in that physicality, but we need to have that widened lens really to help us reconnect. And I think we forget how powerful we are when we're sick because it's so disabling, it's so scary, and it's so tough to be in your body. And then everyone else in the external world really doesn't give you that empathy and it's really lonely. So we've got to dissociate. So the reconnection really takes presence becoming really present in our day, here and now, not living in the past, not fearing the future, but being here and now really helps. I went through this process of retraining my mind, healing my triggers, meeting the inner child parts of me, learning how to do my own body scans. And I teach people from the beginning of the book this inner dialogue that I started to create with myself. So it's the ability to communicate to yourself and to your symptoms, and to realize actually all the messages and all of the symptoms are actually just messages and signals from your body. And it might come from a traumatic experience, or it might come from the fact that you need a vitamin or a mineral, or your body is just really communicating to you at some level. And so it's this switch in our mind that our body is actually working for us, not against us. And also, all of our emotions are valid. We came here to feel the full range of emotions. So it's this deep understanding that we do have this ability to hold our heart, to reconnect inwards, to have a strong inner dialogue, and to start removing those negative thoughts. And I teach people how to filter the thoughts through the heart, from the mind through the heart. So we're seeing through this perspective, rather than all up in here and just so much confusion from the external world that we don't understand all phases of life are necessary. And so it's this understanding of all parts that helps us reconnect within. But it's mind, it's the body, it's within yourself, and then it's also the external world. And when we have the full grasp of this, we have the ability to observe our life and to understand why we feel a certain way, rather than thinking, I hate my body, why is it doing this? I just want to be normal. What is normal? You know, there's just that these preconceived ideas. So once that fully understood, we reconnect within and we realize everything was always there.
I love that. And I know you're going to go so much more in your book on that, which is so exciting, because I think that is such a key component to healing and maintaining your health. But I imagine it takes a lot of being present, which is kind of like step one, because we are so uncomfortable when we're feeling triggered, right? And so all of the work that you're talking about is so important and so vital, but kind of like step one is like, we have to start feeling safe, just even like being present in our bodies in this moment of high intensity.
Yeah, that deep understanding, but knowing that we have tools. I didn't know that I had these tools. I didn't even know that this was possible. All I knew is the physical world, attaining degrees, all of those things. That's what we're really indoctrinated to be like. But we don't know that we can connect in. And for some people, that's a higher purpose as well. But it's having those both of those connections. And then you feel your own life force energy and have that connection, and it's life-changing, really is.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing you talk a lot in your book about, which I think is so important to recognize, is the concept of polarity or duality, and having the awareness of polarity is so eye-opening. Tell us a little bit about that concept.
Yes, I think the best like metaphor for polarity is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You think that you're in this deep, dark suffering, but the polarity of suffering is happiness, and they don't exist without each other. And as soon as I learned that, that was it for me. I was like, oh my goodness. So I wouldn't understand happiness without sadness. And that's where we understand, well, it's a dual universe. We have to experience both emotions to fully understand both ourselves, to have empathy for the world around us. They all are relevant and make sense for this life that we know. And so polar experiences, or the ability to feel pain, not only allow you to have resonance with others who have experienced that pain and then support them, but it also supports you in internally knowing yourself at every level, because especially with chronic illness, you're squeezed from the external, and then you're literally forced to see within. And I'm still yet to see someone heal completely from chronic illness that hasn't gone through an emotional journey to heal. And so it begs to question the why? And it also begs to question, it does it have a purpose? And I believe it does. So yeah, understanding polarity is the polarity of suffering is happiness. They don't exist without each other, and all phases are necessary. It's like the moon is necessary for the sun to come out.
It's so true. It's an awareness that we need to have. I think keeping it in balance can be the challenge every day. Let's say we're having a really painful time in our chronic illness journey. We're having a painful time. The concept of polarity, walk us through, how would you use that? You're having a really painful day, right? Your mast cells are acting up. How would you tweak your mindset then in that moment?
I think I would start to go within. If our body is bringing up symptoms, it's trying to talk to you. So it's about trying to fix ourselves. It's about remembering. So it's definitely not fixing anything. And so if there's symptoms or deep emotions or deep suffering in that day, it's an opportunity to feel it all. The more you push it back, like I was doing, drinking alcohol, pushing it down, the more it comes up.
So true.
The more we scroll on our social media, the more it comes up and it feels more in our face. And so I would say to take yourself aside and to start speaking to that symptom. And I teach people how to speak to their symptoms and their emotion. So we need to feel it. That's the secret. We dissociate, we run away, and we can't keep running anymore. The more we shows up over and over again, and we blame the external circumstances, we blame others, we blame doctors, we blame partners, friends, everyone, but they're just triggering something that's already there. But back to the symptoms. If I was experiencing that, I wouldn't try and outrun it. I would just be with it. Be with it, talk to it, and then come up with a solution. And in the book, I also teach people how to understand their inner knowing and understand their conditioned self. And both are necessary, right? Like, we need our right brain and we need our left brain to be able to survive. It's important to have safety. We don't want to just be in this like happy-go-lucky all the time. Both stages, duality, polarity, is always necessary, and all emotions are normal. The only reason why we suffer is because we think that we should just be up here. We don't allow anything else. And if we don't allow it, we stay there. So feeling it in that moment. And I know that's hard. But if you ask yourself, what do you need right now? Maybe it is an antihistamine to get through that day. You know, maybe it is more water, or maybe it's a vitamin or something that you haven't had. But unfortunately, when we're in that situation, straight away fight or flight comes on. We don't know that we can go quickly, okay, wait. I'm going to just talk to this for a moment, and then I'm going to go and take the stuff, and most likely I'm going to feel a little bit better after. There's so many parts.
No, there are so many parts. And I know this all clicks in your book, right? With each lesson too. There's so many lessons that you teach in your book. How is your book broken out? I know there's like three sections. They're very intentional. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there's the polarity section where I teach you all about my suffering, my story from A to B, but also with lessons throughout that. Part two is the recalibration. So it's where I figured out all of these things for healing for myself and how I did that. And then part three is how you can actually integrate the entire book yourself in order to transform your suffering. Yeah, discover the purpose of it.
I love it. I love it. And your book is out now. This is so exciting. It just came out this week. And you are offering something special for listeners and people on your social media. Tell us about that. When we link to the book, and there'll be a link in my show notes, tell us about how they can also get this downloadable version or a workbook or a guide to go along with it.
Yeah. So what you can do is, once you purchase it, and as long as it's in the first week of it coming out.
So do it today. If you're listening today, do it today. Okay.
Yeah. So if you purchase that today, send me a screenshot of your purchase to my email, biancasholisticway@hotmail.com. And we'll probably pop that in the show notes as well.
For sure.
I'll send you a link back with a password, and you'll get access to a downloadable workbook and also a video of my rewiring brain mindset retraining video. So you understand how to do some of the tapping and things that are written while you do part two and three.
Amazing. So amazing. And I know we could go on all day about the lessons you talk about, Bianca. I'm just amazed. I mean, I know your journey is, oh my gosh, what a story, you know, over 5 years of living with this, but I'm still so amazed at how much you've learned at your age, even. It's just amazing and astounding to me. I'm in awe. And now you've written a book. And tell everybody what other like services you provide, how people can actually work with you too.
Yeah, so we have a lot of courses coming out on Lyme, mold, parasites, all of that's coming out very soon. That will be really helpful so then more people can access it because I do get quite booked out. But I offer like a 10-week journey. So I basically offer many different services from the physicality of health issues to people going from pain to purpose, creating businesses, and then also all the emotional factors and healing factors as well, from limiting beliefs to nervous system to all of it. So as I went through the healing journey myself, I then also got accredited in many of those areas. So I offer that coaching service with people. And then I do like initial consults as well, just for health. So if you've got Lyme or any of those things, I can send you basically all the treatments you can do, all of the best Lyme and SIRS doctors, and you get all of that kind of written up just as like, these are things I think you should probably check out. And then you can contact those doctors and save a lot of time.
Oh my gosh. Bianca, you are truly a gift to the world. I am so grateful for social media. There's parts of me that do not like social media, but I am so grateful for social media to have me be able to be connected to you. Because I think you are such a gift. And Bianca's book, It Happened For Me, is out now. Please check it out. Get your copy. It's amazing. And I thank you so much, Bianca, for sharing your very happy story with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I agree. I'm so grateful to have met you. And it's always such a pleasure to connect with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. If you felt inspired, please submit a review. More reviews help others find Very Happy Stories. And don't forget to subscribe and share this with someone else you know who could use a very happy story right about now. Until next time, have a happy day.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundel, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network, or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.